time for Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in, jingle bell time.
That's right, folks. It is Cyber Monday. We've gotten through Thanksgiving, and we're playing Jingle Bells for the first time. How are we doing, Dave?
Good. How about you?
Great. You are listening to Newsmakers on KYKN with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. We got a lot of things to talk about today, things that affect the area, shopping, the holiday. We're going to talk a little bit more about the bridge coming up. Did you shop, Dave, this weekend?
I get dragged into it every year.
Really?
It's a Black Friday tradition. Yeah.
Wow. Do you get up in the dark of day?
No. I talked the girls out of that finally. You know, they used to get up at 2 a.m. I said, have fun. They wanted to include me. So we get up at 7 or 8.
Okay. Well, that's reasonable. So if you're out there and you want to share your Black Friday nightmare stories or great...
Nightmare
stories are entertaining.
I've never seen a nightmare story. On Black Friday.
Really?
A couple of ones, you know, Walmart, somebody gets trampled.
Yeah. Well,
you know, that's ridiculous.
Or the best deal that you've got, either for Black Friday or on Monday, Cyber Monday, call in. We'll be talking to some callers at the bottom of the hour or after the bottom of the hour, 503-393-1430, if you want to share what you're doing as far as your purchasing, because purchasing is up.
Yes, a lot.
Amazing things for the economy nationwide and for the areas. 9%, I think.
The estimated
9% up for Black Friday spending. So all those pontificators who think, hey, we're due for a recession, we're going to have a recession. It's got to be a recession anytime now. The public's not buying it.
Why? Because it's been 10 years?
Yeah, it is the longest expansion ever. And about every 10 years.
That's when it's due?
It's due. Yeah. Actually, it's past due if you listen to The Economist.
The one in 2008 was the only one I've ever experienced.
What?
Yeah.
How does that go? Are you young? Younger than HKR?
I'm
recession.
I'm 55, but the other ones didn't affect me financially like it did last time.
Oh, yeah, experienced in that regard. Because we had, obviously, we won in 2001.
Decimating.
We had one that cost George Bush his presidency, because we were in a recession when Clinton was elected, and there was one in 89 prior to that. But anyway, for now, though, spending is up 9%, $6.22 billion spent on Friday online in the nation.
And this is Cyber Monday, so even more will be added to that.
Right. Oh, yeah. Cyber Monday is huge.
It's bigger than that.
And this is really going to affect the retailers. We're going to talk about this after this hour, is about how it affects retailers in the Mid-Valley, both in, you know, the citizens and their quality of life.
Sure.
How much time we spend in our cars, how much time we spend shopping and this and that. For some people, it's a chore. For other people, it's a joyous errand to run.
I'll let you know that I did stand in line for an hour on Black Friday.
Wow.
For the girls.
Were you in line to buy or in line to get in the doorbuster?
In line to buy.
Wow.
Yeah. I always stand in line with something, one or two items, and just mosey along for an hour while the girls go and shop.
Oh,
Then they meet me at the cash register with tons of stuff.
All right. Well, this is going to be fun. I'll tell you a quick story because we're gonna talk to Mike Evans from Salem Bridge Solutions here after the break. But I like shopping. I like shopping, and I like buying things for other people. So that brings me joy. I don't mind going out in the mall. I kind of like it. I don't know. It's a feel-good thing.
Do you do it early?
No, not necessarily.
Because I'm a last-minute shopping guy that shops for other people.
Oh, it depends on when it hits
like
me.
Like Christmas Eve at 6 p.m.
I see. So you go from Black Friday to Christmas Eve and nothing in between.
Yes, nothing in between.
All right. So this is the funny thing. It's a husband-wife thing. It might be a male-female thing.
Okay.
I don't know. So because we both, you know, I like to shop. I like to shop with my, I like to be with and shop with my wife. But we'll go to the store and I'll say, I'm looking for, you know, this brand in a polo shirt. And
sure.
I'll find them. Like, I like that one. I'll take that one. In the basket, I'm ready to go. Right? Or whatever it is. You know?
That's so how guys shop.
I like, I want this. There it is. I have it now. I'm done.
Right.
Where's the food court? Right?
Yeah. That's how I shop, too.
And there's none of this meandering around. Well, we haven't hit this department yet.
Every item.
Oh, look, there's another store.
Yeah.
I haven't been in there. It's not on my list, but I haven't been in there. Uh-huh. So
I just like to look, she says.
So my wife, she's not that bad. She's actually wonderful to shop with. But it is quite different. She's like, that's it? I'm like, yeah, I don't. I knew what I wanted coming in, and I really enjoyed buying it.
You're known as the guy shopper.
A guy shopper.
You get in, you know what you want, you get it, you're out,
and then
you're done. I'm exactly the same way.
And we like to take this time to thank all retailers that put the benches out there for us husbands. And
this store had cleared the bottom layer of shelving that they usually have clothing on,
mm-hmm.
made them benches for the guys.
So who did you buy for? You went out with your girls. And
boy,
Christmas presents?
I did not. I didn't buy any. I bought two shirts for myself. I said, "Here, honey, wrap them up for me. That way, there's no surprises."
Well,
she's done shopping for me now.
Bingo.
Yeah, two birds, one stone. I know what I'm getting, and I like them. So
I love it. I do like what we're seeing right now is the stretching out of Black Friday. Where people are starting deals,
yes,
they're going
to
give you the same price a week ahead of time.
It needs to be longer than a day.
Yeah, and they're giving the same price on Monday as they did on Friday. And
it eliminates the trampling thing.
Indeed. Trampling was never good for anyone.
No. By the way, on Black Friday, you know, some of those TV specials that they have, there's only so many allocated for each store, you know, and you want to get a new TV or whatever. I heard that they manufactured specifically for Black Friday not superior parts. There's not enough parts or ports to the TV, and it's inferior, and so it only lasts a few years. And they only have like four of them. So that's why they're such a deal. You'd be better off getting a TV any other time than Black Friday.
You know, a lot of times it does not pay to buy cheap.
No, that's it does not. I've learned that over the years. Now, my wife, too. She's like, wow, that broke again. We had to replace it. That's what happens when you buy cheap, honey.
The things the consumer needs to know.
Don't buy cheap.
So I was talking to a local bike shop owner, and this was several years ago, but the point was kind of the same. It says you can go and buy, you know, this bike brand that you've heard of at a big box store. But what they've done is they've gone to the manufacturer or they've gone to China and said, we need this bike, but we need it at this price point. Make it so. And so they have to thin the metal.
Mm-hmm.
They have to downgrade the materials to make the price point that the big box retailer wants. So you're not getting the same bike, even though it has the same brand name on it. You're not getting the same bike at the big box store.
That's the same thing with the TVs.
Yeah,
same thing.
So, why should we pay more for a local shop and a bike specialty shop? Is because you're getting a better product.
Right.
So when you get that value.
Right, that inferior product, you know. It's bad when you find out, you know, you're speeding down a hill and you go to use the brakes and they don't work because they're inferior.
Yeah.
And you hit a car.
Or you're buying your kid a bike again next year.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe 2 years if you stretch it out. So, I'm going to be a proponent of buying from the local shop and getting you get the expertise. Someone who knows bikes and not just a clerk. And two, you're supporting a local business who's mm-hmm. keeping the money local and paying
the customer service is better, too.
Yeah. And the bike's going to last longer. So, anyway, that is that. We're going to talk. We got a kind of a side subject here today. We're going to come back and talk and listen to your call-ins. 503-393-1430. If you'd like to call in and tell us your greatest deal you found online or your best experience here shopping in the Mid-Valley on Black Friday. We're going to talk about the bridge one more time because we have a vote coming up in City Council here tonight, the Salem City Council. We have 77% of the area in favor of getting another bridge crossing, and we have 5 out of 9 city councilors who got elected to be against the bridge. So we have Mike Evans from the Salem Bridge Solutions. We'll have him off after the break. And we'll talk about this again because, hey, it's a call to action. I know the mayor talked about it last week and Councilor Jim Lewis talked about it the week before. But people, today is the day. So City Council is going to vote on whether or not they're going to do their job or we're going to wait a generation to even look at.
Which is another 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Another 20 years to look at this and hopefully even touch on, I'm a pretty brief mic, but touch on what happens when we have the big earthquake.
Ooh.
And we do not have any more options. So that being said, you're listening to Newsmakers in KYKN, 1430. Salem is listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Singing those merry Christmas carols by the old corral.
Hello and welcome back to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. We're here in studio at KYKN 1430 talking about the holiday, talking about the shopping, and talk about how it affects Mid-Valley retailers. And we're going to listen to your comments on your experiences on Cyber Monday, best deals you've seen on Black Friday or this weekend at 503-393-1430 if you want to call in. Right now, though, we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk to Mike Evans. Mike is part of the Salem Bridge Solutions. It's a really serious topic. We're going to spend the next several minutes talking to Mike about what's going to happen at City Council today. Tonight is the deadline. So this is all about that. We have the Center Street Bridge. We have the Marion Street Bridge. They're the same age. They have the same capacity. They're over capacity. So Mike and his brother, Craig, in West Salem, heard that their neighborhood association was not supportive of a bridge solution, and that, what the heck was that? And that spurred them to get involved. So welcome, Mike.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's nice to have you in the studio, and thank you for the work you do. You're a community organizer.
Well, I never thought about myself that way, but you know, I guess that shoe fits. I'm not all that comfortable with that shoe, but you know.
Well, now you're qualified to run for president. So,
yeah. All right.
Anyway, it's great that citizens get involved. You know, honestly, this is an axiom. This is so true. We're going to talk about this in future shows. Those who show up make the world go around.
Absolutely.
The world is run by those who show up. So you decided to show up, you and your brother Craig, and you formed Salem Bridge Solutions, what, in 2017?
Yep, 2017, May. I was heading home, stuck in the traffic again, and it's going, oh my gosh, somebody has to do something about this. And then, you know, I looked in the mirror and thought, oh, well, I guess somebody has to be me. I can't just keep putting it off on somebody else.
That's right. All right. So what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, what we really hope to accomplish is getting the next bridge built for us. The Salem River Crossing has been in the works now for almost 13 years. Been a huge, long process. Millions of dollars and infinite study and all kinds of public input. And we're really at the point where the environmental impact statement is almost completed. In fact, it's ready to be completed. There's three tiny little issues that need to get fixed. It got appealed to Land Use Board of Appeals.
Right.
And so, but now the city council has to take really just a very small action to tell the city staff to finish that EIS and get it done so that we can actually get a permit to build the bridge, which does not mean that the bridge is instantly going to be built. Mm-hmm. It just means that we then have permission to build it if we choose to. And that's what we're asking our city councilors to do, is vote to complete the process. After we've been in this process for almost 13 years and with, you know, partners like Polk County commissioners and the Marion County commissioners and the city of Kaiser, they've all worked as partners together.
And the transit district.
And the transit district, right, in this big, long process. And it's just not appropriate at the end of that to pull the plug, you know, to stop it from happening, from just getting the permission to build it.
Well, my understanding is they think that they have a mandate to stop the bridge. They think, well, we got elected on a no bridge, no build, don't disrupt a neighborhood, you know, progressive stance. Mm-hmm. I've never quite figured out how progressive sometimes means don't progress, but that's another matter. So they think they have a mandate, not just, you know, a mandate to do as they please on this vote, mm-hmm. but they are required to do it because that's, you know,
yeah.
not required to get educated as they become city councils or represent the 77% of area people that want another river crossing option.
And I think that's the truth of this, is that it is 77% and growing that want this bridge, because every year the traffic gets worse and people realize this is not going to get solved with anything but building another bridge. But people are electing, like you said, it's who shows up. So when it comes time to vote, you know, people were not voting for these people going, yeah, stop the bridge. It was, you know, mostly, I think, a political, oh, well, this seems like my tribe, and they vote for them. And so, but most people, we in our Salem Bridge Solutions group, we have people across the entire political spectrum. We have people who call themselves progressives, and a bunch of them in this group, who are scratching their heads going, what in the world are these people doing? Of course we need this bridge. So this is not a universal belief within, you know, one side of this. So what we're focused on is solutions. We believe we need, as a community, we need to come together and get this done. And right now, what we need is people who want the bridge to show up tonight to let city council know, hey, I live in your area. I'm from Ward, you know, 2, and I want this bridge because it affects my life. It affects our daily life.
All right, so there's the call to action. City council meeting is tonight, 6 or 6:30, what is it?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. We need to fill the room.
Absolutely.
You need to let your voices be heard that you do not want the next generation and the next generation to sit in traffic. You go down to City Hall down at 555 Liberty Street. And park anywhere you can downtown and walk up in City Hall. And if you don't want to speak, you don't have to speak.
Correct.
But do you want them to wear a certain color or identify themselves?
We wear green. We've got green T-shirts. We'll have a few extra if you show up and, you know, we have one in your size. We'll be happy to get you a T-shirt. But we're so just wear something green if that works for you. And if it doesn't work for you, show up in whatever you're wearing and speak your mind. And it's really simple. I mean, you've got 3 minutes at the most. You stand up, you tell, you know, respectfully say, hey, here's who I am and here's what I want and why I want it.
If you haven't been down there before, it's pretty easy. There's a sign-up sheet. You put your name on it, say, hey, I want to speak to something the city councilors are going to talk about. And then at some point when they're taking, you know, comments from the public, they call you up there and you just stand there and say, hey, we need this done. We need this to get done.
Absolutely.
So one thing I want to go back up just a couple of minutes. The vote is not to build a bridge.
Correct.
The vote is not to design the bridge. It's not to pay for the bridge. It's not to choose any of that stuff or even have a timeline for the bridge. The vote is to finish the process so that we've checked the box so that when time comes to talk about an actual bridge, we don't have to start from scratch.
Right.
That's all it is.
Well,
and they won't do it.
And the truth of it is, like you've said, this is about giving us the choice. I mean, typically people on this other side of, you know, our progressives say that they're pro-choice, right? Well, we want the choice. Mm-hmm. We want the choice to build the bridge. We want our community to have that freedom to decide for ourselves, do we want it? And I think the answer will be at that point, yes, that we do, but we'll have to find out when we get there. But this is just about finishing the process so that we give ourselves that opportunity to choose.
All right,
and if we don't do it now, we lose that opportunity probably for at least 20 years and maybe longer.
And
I mean, we're 13 years into this right now, and we're probably 10 years from getting one done if we go hard after it right now. So you think about that. That's a 23-year process, and that process is getting longer and longer because there's more regulation.
Talk about red tape.
Oh, boy.
And $8 million, right?
At this point.
Oh, yeah. $8 million spent.
It's $8 million that we've gotten from the feds to do this process.
Still $8 million.
And some of that may have to be paid back if we don't finish the process.
I could have built it in 10 with that.
Yep.
We're talking to Mike Evans. He and his brother Craig founded Salem Bridge Solutions in 2017 to try to enact change and help people understand and rally the troops to get another river crossing across the Willamette. We're going to talk about airport in upcoming shows, but there's a study that the assumes during the Cascadia earthquake event, if it's big enough, that PDX will liquefy into the river kind of thing. So you're looking at that kind of devastation. Yep. Are we really going to deal with the old bridges that we have now without building a new one to modern standards?
No, absolutely
unbelievable.
Not.
We're banging the drum here hard on newsmakers about paying attention to whom you're voting for because these people think that the community doesn't want a bridge. Mm-hmm. They think the community doesn't want it because they got elected. And you have to pay attention, and you have to show up. We can't just show up when it's Trump versus Clinton.
No.
We can't just show up every 4 years. We got to show up when it's the Water and Soil Conservation District.
Yes.
You know, if there's only one candidate, you know, what can you do, right?
Right.
But if it's school board and there's two people, you better know what they stand for. You better know if they stand for charter schools or not charter schools. You better know if they stand for bilingual education or immersion. You better stand, and when they walk and talk at your door, you better know whether or not they're going to build infrastructure or whether progressive means let's not do anything.
Or raise your taxes.
Yeah. All right. So I got on my soapbox there, Mike. Sorry.
I've been known to get on mine.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the cost of the bridge for people who are unsure. It's like, I don't know. I've heard it's going to be a bazillion dollars.
Well, every single time the other side starts talking about it, they double the price they said last time. So, you know, they've got it at $1 billion now. It's not $1 billion. It's not $500 million. But we honestly can't tell you what the actual price is because we'd have to have a final design and have people bid it in order to know. But it's not going to be cheap. We know that it'll cost our community. What people often don't think about is what it's costing our community right now, every day and every year. They just did another study of this, you know, how are we going to solve congestion, did a congestion task force. And they came up with, you know, well, the delays right now are like 16 minutes per day for the, if you're commuting across that bridge, just through that rush hour time.
That,
you know, that doesn't, for a lot of people, they go, well, it's just 16 minutes. But what does that really mean? Well, 16 minutes, when you do the math, per person for 9,000 cars an hour adds up to about 1.8 million hours a year. Now, what could we do with 1.8 million hours a year in our community? We could do things with our family. We could actually solve some community problems. And what if that was, I mean, if you said, okay, $20 an hour is what a person's time is worth. Well, how much money is that? That's $37 million a year.
Yeah.
We're flushing that down.
And we're sitting in traffic, burning greenhouse gases.
Exactly.
And some of these things, they kind of come back. I just read an article over the weekend about how this mandate to use oil in biodiesel has required the deforestation in other countries, where they've completely deforested and released all these carbon emissions just so they can plant the right kind of plant. And sometimes what they're intending to do is completely backwards. So we're sitting in traffic and we're burning these carbon emissions like crazy. And what they would like to do, what their public policy is about, is getting us out of the car.
Yep.
They think that if they can help create gridlock or maintain gridlock, that we're going to get on our bikes. We're going to walk, we're going to get on our bikes, or we're not going to go, but we're not going to drive our cars.
I don't see them on bikes or walking. Come on.
Yeah. But that's the ultimate end game. They don't like to say it out loud, but really that's the end game, because I actually had a counselor tell me that she thought gridlock could potentially be good for economic development.
What?
Yeah, well, we have seen that stuff on the other side's website, you know, where they say, you know, gridlock is our friend and all of that. You know, for us, this is not an ideological thing. We are simply about getting the solution that our community needs. You know, this is a bunch of hardworking people who live and try to produce a community that our kids are going to inherit, that they're going to be able to thrive in. And they're not going to thrive in a community that's strangled by, you know, this silly one bridge that's supposed to serve our entire region.
Okay, you were mentioning at the break about some capacity figures really quickly. So are we at capacity now when it comes to the roads leading up to the bridge?
Yeah. So the congestion task force study showed that in the morning, the Center Street Bridge is at 101% of capacity right now. And in the evening, Marion Street is at 107% of capacity.
Wow.
And that's why we're just sitting in traffic, because you can only get 100% through, right? And the more you approach capacity, the less you can actually get through. And so, but they also know that we're growing at over 1% a year, and now the plan is to do nothing for the next 20 years.
Wow. All right, that's Mike Evans, Salem Bridge Solutions. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. On KYKN 1430, Salem is listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's just another manic Monday here at KYKN. Welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent here with Dave. And we kept Mike Evans here a little bit. We've got us all fired up here during the break. We are all fired up about this bridge thing. It makes no sense. Mike was just talking to us about how we're already over capacity at Center Street and Marion Street bridges at times of the day, how now we're growing at 1% a year, Mike was telling us, and the people in charge of the city, your public policy people, do not want any of our capacity to grow across the Willamette. And we're looking at 20 years of growing at 1%. And we'll be stuck in traffic. The buses that they want us to all take will be stuck in traffic.
Yep.
Everything will be stuck in traffic. It's asinine.
Think about that. So we're at 101 and 107%. Add 20 to each of those. And, you know, you're 121, 127% of capacity. Now, what would we be doing? So how is transportation any different from water, sewer, electric?
Well,
so if you had your sewer system that was at 101% or 107% of capacity for 3 hours a day, and you were dumping raw sewage into the river, what would it be? It'd be a federal emergency. The city would be coming to a halt because we couldn't possibly let this occur. But the idea with traffic seems to be, whatever, so what, they just wait in traffic. Well, it's a critical piece of our infrastructure.
It's a critical piece of quality of life. So the call to action, that's the reason why Mike Evans is here. He's with Salem Bridge Solutions, is a city council meeting tonight. If you can't make it, you can still email them at citycouncil@cityofsalem.net and beg them to do their jobs and just hold our place so that we can build the bridge in the future. We don't have to start again. We're not starting in 5 years and 10 years and 15 years from now for it to take another 25 years. So city council meeting tonight, 555 Liberty Street. If you've never been to city council, it's a small city, folks. This is a small community. You show up, your voices are heard. You show up, your body is counted. So if you've never done it, do something different today on this Cyber Monday. And go down and let your voice be heard and encourage them to please not throw away the investment that we've made over the last 13 years. Will you be there, Mike?
I will absolutely be there.
You'll be wearing green.
I'll be wearing
green. Your brother will be there.
Signing up to speak. Hey, it's Cyber Monday. You can bring a laptop, bring your device. You can sit there and you can do your shopping while you sit and listen to city council and wait to give your testimony.
That's right. There may be some TVs left every hour. Maybe
there you go.
New deal.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I like that. So Cyber Monday, either of you guys, Dave, you shopping on Cyber Monday today?
I did a couple of them yesterday, but, you know, things I needed for the house.
It is, yeah. It's really nice. And we talked about this at the top of the hour. It's really nice that they are stretching things out. So it's, you know, you're not bogged down too much at the store physically on Friday and not bogged down with your internet connection on Monday. But how do it affect local retailers? Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people, and I've got another family story. And as a former retailer in this community, retailer, I will tell you, I'm going to combine our two topics today.
Okay.
I was a retailer. I was on a street that had 50,000 cars a day on that intersection, which is a very, very good real estate number. If you're commercial real estate, that's a very, very good number. Yep. Problem was, a lot of it came in a three-hour block, mm-hmm. and nobody wanted to move out of traffic to pay for anything, to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Parking was limited.
That's the part of traffic engineering, consumer behavioral mm-hmm. Science that they're not getting, that people are not going to come out of gridlock and drop money in the community. They do not want to stop. That's not how people behave.
Oh, no. I mean, ask anybody, do you want to shop downtown during, you know, anywhere near rush hour? No, nobody's even thinking about that. It's just get me out of here.
And as a small business person, you can ask me, do I want to buy a retail operation on Wallace Road?
Nope.
Knowing what's going to happen with gridlock. And I'm not, I mean, I'm the same thing. I do not like pulling off. I won't stop it to get a smoothie. I'm not going to pull off and pop into a Walgreens or something to get one tank because I'm in traffic.
So is there thinking that they would gridlock us so much that we would just simply get out of the car while it stopped and shop?
Some people believe that. Some people believe that. Although that is not economic development, even if they stop at the Starbucks or whatever. They think that that's somehow dropping more money in the community rather than...
Because you're sitting there staring at the storefront going, maybe I should buy that.
All right. So anyway, as a former retailer, I know differently. When it comes to gridlock, we actually slowed down. How much we were selling slowed down when the maximum number of cars were driving by.
That's not right.
Yeah. So... anyway, back to shopping. This is a mother story. This is my mom. She lived in West Salem for 20 years, lived in South Salem for about 3 years. And, you know, she did some online shopping. But her reaction to people who only bought online was, well, I guess they don't want any stores in their community. Now I'm going to have to call my mom today and tell her I talked about it on the show. Okay, but I guess they don't want any stores in their community. And so I share a little bit of that. It's not like I don't buy some things online. But I do know that if we want a store that has expertise, if we want a store that hires local people, we got to go to the store and buy or go on their website and buy and pick it up. So I like that model. I like, you know, say I'm not feeling like driving all the way to a big box store, but I can go online and buy it and I'll come and pick it up. At least I'm buying from a local store. And downtown is a big piece of this. So this is a Brent philosophy, but I like having a downtown Salem.
It is a nice downtown.
And I have struggled for years to figure out why they can't market it better. I mean, you can park for free, people. You can park for free. And you can walk into JCPenney's, cross the street without going into weather, and you can shop at Macy's, you can shop at Kohl's, you can shop at Ross, Dress for Less, all without getting in the weather. So you got four major retailers right there at the Salem Center, plus scores of specialty shops outside the weather, and did I mention you park for free? How hard is it to market that? That is a great shopping environment.
Because I think they're looking at,
I think the mayor mentioned that.
Was it the mayor? He was looking at getting paid parking down there, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. That came and went with some community activists.
I mean, he was talking about it just last week, that he was talking about adding more paid parking down there.
Well, and again, a lot of that is purposely to discourage, which is an interesting thing, though, people from driving. It's we'll charge you more if you drive because then you're going to have to park.
Right.
And so, again, it's supposed to discourage. But at the same time as you want your downtown to thrive, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I
mean, we're going to discourage you from driving down here by charging you every time you come down just to park. And we want our downtown to be, vibrant. And we're putting all of this effort into, streetscaping and all of those efforts that they're doing to try and recreate a nice downtown, but it doesn't work again. And not everything ties into the bridge, but this really does. I mean, when you want a nice downtown, you don't want every gravel truck to have to go through it.
Yeah, right.
Right. Does that help your downtown?
No,
not really.
No.
Yeah, you listen to Mike Evans of Salem Bridge Solutions giving us a downtown lesson. I like it, and it's so true. I mean, that traffic backs up to the movie theaters. Mm-hmm. If that's not a consideration of whether or not we're going to go to the movies downtown,
yes.
If they were going to go to the movies at Lancaster Drive or South Salem, that's ridiculous. And we don't. Yeah, there's bad enough to park. Park and sit in traffic to get to park. So anyway, we're blending our topics, but I'm a downtown advocate shopping downtown. I shop downtown on purpose because I want JCPenney's there. Mm-hmm. So I want Kohl's there. I'm not trying to be a homie for any of these stores, but the fact is five major department stores in one place with free parking and out of the weather. It's an incredible offering. And if we want that to be vibrant, if we want to have a candy store and a Thai food restaurant, and we want to have a Chinese restaurant, and we want to have some handmade soaps and the whole nine yards. Yep. We got to go downtown and walk it and buy from a local retailer. So we've been talking about the bridge. We're going to let that go and talk.
You are?
Well, Dave just wants to talk to me. We're going to talk about it as the All You People show up.
Yeah, but exactly.
Just a few more things about Cyber Monday and shopping downtown and shopping in your local Willamette Valley store and mall. If you want to call in and tell us your story or have a question for Mike or us, it's 503-393-1430. 503-393-1430. My name is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne on KYKN 1430. Salem's listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. It is Cyber Monday. We're talking about shopping in the Mid-Valley, shopping online, the benefits of both, shopping online, then picking it up at your local store, making your economy go. I'm going to give you a mixed message here because I like to do that. I like to shop, as I said, but I have great distaste for this consumerism and the radio, television ads you see. I want to know, is anybody out there actually buy their spouse a Buick? Or an Audi or a Lexus, all these things. It's like, does anybody actually do that? I mean, I've got one least favorite commercial of holiday season. It's already happening, and I see it every commercial break, and I just going to blow my brains out. We're going to have to see it for another month. Is the guy who says, what do you give to the person, to the tailgater that has everything? He's got the real smarmy look on his face.
I actually like that
you
one.
You do? Well, now watch it. Watch this look on his face. It's all like,
oh, it was perfect.
What about a new tailgate? And aren't I cool? And I don't know. Anyway, the consumerism is a little distasteful. It's so nice. I enjoy buying for my family and friends. And I love Christmas.
Sure.
Sometimes the consumerism is just too much.
Yeah.
And sorry, folks, for the spoiler, but nobody's getting a car.
Ah, darn.
Dang, I had my hopes up.
Nobody's getting a car. I did, however, participate in the Marine Reserve Toy Drive this weekend. So it was outside a store, out in Monmouth, and they had me right at Marine Reserve. There was no going back there. I was walking in, and a young man, like 10 years old, hands me a shopping list saying, this is for the toy drive. And there's lots of toy drives. There's lots of giving boxes. There's a lot of giving trees at churches. Mm-hmm. And I love doing that, too.
Yep.
You know, people are not as fortunate as I am, as my family is, and
that's what the holiday season's for.
I'll be darned. I had to go to the toy. I had to go to the toy section and look at the list, and I pick something that little boy can build out of. And
we actually do that too. Yeah.
So the toy drive is really great. Be sure not to just walk by the bell ringers and everything like that when you're in the Mid Valley and you're out the shopping and shopping malls, what have you. All right. In a limited amount of time we have left today, we had a lot of conversation going back and forth and all sorts of things. But with Mike Evans here from the Salem Bridge Solutions, I didn't want to let him go without him telling us how to join the cause.
All right. Well, two ways. You can go on our website, SalemBridgeSolutions, all one word, .org. And there's, you know, you can get on there, find our contact information. Or the best way really is go on Facebook, if you're a Facebook person, and look up the Salem Bridge Solutions group and ask to join that. And I'll go on there and approve and say, yep, sure, you can be part of our group. We've got almost 3,000 people on there.
Wow.
And it's a great way for us to keep people updated with what's happening. So if you were on there, you'd have seen all kinds of stuff about tonight's vote and inviting you to come to City Council.
And opportunities to sign petitions and things like that.
Yep, we have an online petition, and that we've got 2,600 signatures on that so far.
Mm.
And so, yeah, we're, you know, this is just a grassroots organization. It's normal, everyday people that are ready to get something done in our community.
Practical.
We need a bridge. It's pretty obvious to 77% of the population, it's obvious.
Right.
And
even visitors
and
coming through.
Yeah. I mean, people people remark on it all the time. Like, how is it possible that you only have one bridge?
How is it possible that goods and services that have no business being downtown Salem don't have another option? Right. You mentioned the gravel trucks,
yep,
the 18-wheelers.
Yep.
I don't want them going through my downtown,
no,
but these five councilors, yep, in Salem are holding up hostage the entire region and all the work that's been done.
Yep.
I know you got involved through the Neighborhood Association. This is Mike Evans and his brother Craig got founded Salem Bridge Solutions. And at the time, the people who were showing up at the West Salem Neighborhood Association were hardcore left. Hardcore,
yeah,
left is how you describe them. And they're like, no, we're not sure, but we want a bridge. So get involved, folks. If you can, tonight, show up at City Council at 6
o'clock.
6 o'clock. Sign up to speak if you can. Let your voice be heard or your body counted. And if you can't, email the City Council at cityofsalem.net. That communicates with all the councilors, the mayor, and the city manager. And my question to them has been, since they say they don't want to displace anything, mm-hmm, in the name of progress, mm-hmm, which of the 12 bridges in Portland didn't displace somebody? And
yeah,
which one of the 12 bridges in the idolized city, mm-hmm, should not have been built, that we should,
yeah,
tear down? And I don't know. People think that, you know, so we wouldn't have the Salem Center if it weren't for displacing.
Of course.
We had to buy some property. We had to displace some shops and even residences to build the Salem Center. And that was progressive thinking in the 70s. And now,
yep,
we want to progress right now moving forward. Any last comments?
Well, you know, I actually empathize with the people who say, oh, it'll displace some people. And there's some low-income people that'll get displaced. There's truth to that. We don't deny reality, right? We also know that we will make provision for, you know, in eminent domain, you end up paying people for the property that you have to take. But there's no way to make progress in a city without actually displacing some people that didn't want to. We have a brand new middle school over in West Salem that's called Straub.
Mm-hmm.
Straub is named Straub because the property that it sits on was taken from the Straub family. The governor, the ex-governor, former governor, his family did not want to give that property up. But it needed to be taken, mm-hmm, so that we could actually have a middle school to serve all of the students. So that's, you know,
right,
that's part of what happens.
That's part of what happens. It's called progress. And the same thing is happening with the school district now in Kaiser. We'll talk about that on a different show. So, Mike Evans, I thank you for your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you for being a community organizer and try to get the word out and educate people and help get the city council to their job of completing the task so that we're not looking at another hundreds of millions to build this thing.
Yeah.
Going back to the cost, by the way, real quick, that $400 million that we think the bridge might cost, mm-hmm, is less than the bond measure we just passed. It's only 2/3 of the bond measure we just passed for Salem-Kaiser schools, and they're not even going to build a school.
Yep.
So just kind of keep in perspective if we can afford it or not afford it. Is part
and
of that
the
question.
Other thing that never...
So we're going to talk about this more in the future. We're going to result of the vote and what's going to happen to those five council seats, six come January, since there was a new one elected in South Salem. And what's going to happen in Salem as we look at the infrastructure and the job. That's it for Cyber Monday. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Borm on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Borm, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Why should you be Jiffy Lube loyal? You know Jiffy Lube offers quality oil changes, but did you know